and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, the question becomes, you know, for us homeschool parents, how do we do that? You know, as we look, and I was blessed to have a wife who worked hard on the curriculum. You know, how do you teach reading? How do you teach grammar? And don't ask me that one. Mathematics and good citizenship. How do you do that? Well, the same question we can ask ourselves is, what does it mean to be trained up in the way he should go? And that's what I wanted to talk a little bit about today. And while we were working on these things, of course, Jim is going over 2 Peter for us, and we get an opportunity to look at what Peter is trying to teach to those in those Jews at the time. And remember, he is talking to Jews in this book, and he reminds them that, you know, you've been taught about false prophets. Now I'm going to tell you that there are false teachers coming. And so what does that mean, that false teachers are going to be among you? And so he goes on in 2 Peter 2:3 to talk about, and those false teachers, let me just read it. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. So the feigned words, I think other translations call them false words, or untruthful teaching. Well, what are those feigned words? And how do we as Christians recognize those false words? And how do we as Christians teach those around us, teach those that God has put in our charge, the truth? I wanted to use an example today, and I want to relate this to a biblical worldview and a worldly view. And I want to have you think about those things. The example I wanted to look at today was heart. Okay. And why Greek isn't showing up there, I don't know. But the Greek root is card, C-A-R-D. Okay. The Latin cord, C-O-R-D, and the French C-O-U-R is an example. And you can look at some of the examples of those words that are in our English language. You've got the word cordial as an example. It's kind of a word that talks about your feelings and how you treat someone. I'm trying to think of some other words. They were on my notes, but it doesn't show up on a Mac. Well, it did at home, but it's not today. Courage, you know, it's talking about your feelings and what you feel and what you're able to do with those feelings. And as we walk through the world, there's also a secular worldview that's being taught. So if we are students of the Word, and if we're like these graduates, and we think that, okay, I'm done. I've read through the Bible, I know what it all means, and I am done, I have graduated. Except that we know that we continue to learn every day. You are learning something every day. But are you learning the right thing, or are you learning false teachings? Oh, there's the Greek. Okay. So here's some examples of words of sayings that you pick up every day. Follow your heart. How many movies have you watched that teach us to follow your heart? To be true to yourself. How many times have you heard that, even in Christian circles? There's a evidently fairly popular book. I've not read it. The Alchemist, I think it's called. It was translated into 70 different languages. It teaches this thinking of when you want something, all the universe conspires in helping you to achieve it. In fact, it teaches a very popular secular religion that says that if you have a desire for something, if there is something in your heart, that was put there by the universe because that's what you're supposed to desire. And not only that, that is what you're to achieve. That's your calling. That's your destiny. And so that is what is being taught in the world today. You hear words like he or she has a pure heart. Follow your dreams. This quote, success is not the key to happiness, but happiness is the key to success. Meaning if you follow the desires of your heart to make yourself happy, you will be successful. That's what's being taught there. Some other ones. God knows my heart. I've heard different versions of this often. I have a desire, and I rest in the fact that God knows that desire and is working towards satisfying it. I may have messed up right there, and I may not be walking with the Lord in this instance, but that's okay because God knows my heart. This may not look like a biblical direction that I should be taking, but the Lord knows my heart. I've not prayed to God nor shared with Him my needs. I may not have asked for forgiveness, but that's okay because God knows my heart. Well, I'm here to tell you the Bible says, yes, God knows your heart. And here's what the Bible says about it. So a biblical worldview. Let's move over to a biblical worldview. Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Matthew 15:19. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, and blasphemies. Proverbs 28:26. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. But whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. Luke 12:34, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. As you go through these, think of the word heart. Put your desires in there, who you are. Matthew 7:20-23 says, and he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, and we went through that. Psalm 37:4-6, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as thy light, and thy judgment as the noonday. So, what does the Bible tell us about following our heart? Very popular movie that actually displays this pretty well. If our hearts are a compass, they are a Jack Sparrow compass. It's going to point you to what your heart desires. Our hearts, I think the thing I want to point out here is the Bible teaches us that our heart was never meant to be followed. It's meant to be led. And it's meant to be led by who or by what? The Holy Spirit. God's Word. Not by our desires, but by God's Word and the Holy Spirit. And so some of the battle. This is an example that I found interesting looking in. Talking about President Jimmy Carter. He has taught Sunday school since he was 18 years old. He is now 93, and he's still teaching Sunday school. He's currently a deacon at Maranatha Baptist Church. He was on the Late Show recently, pushing a book he wrote called Faith, A Journey for All. Sounds pretty good so far, right? He is quoted as supporting same-sex marriage, saying that, I believe Jesus would approve gay marriage. He severed connections to the Southern Baptist Convention, this was years ago, over its opposition to women as pastors. And the New York Times noted that Carter has been instrumental in moving evangelical Christianity closer to the American mainstream during and after his presidency. And in 2006, he and Bill Clinton and some others initiated the New Baptist Convention, and their intent is primarily to be more inclusive. It's to move God's Word closer to what did the New York Papers Times say? Closer to American mainstream. So what I want to hope I'm able to point out here is that we as homeschool fathers, and what I was thinking is we're all very busy, and I know myself, it's easy to think, okay, I'm coming home from work, I've driven an hour and 15 minutes, and I just want to relax and decompress, and I want to just take it easy. But even in that time of relaxing and decompressing, are you really not learning even in that time? Because if you're turning on the TV or turning on the radio, you are still learning something. Something from someone you are picking up. And so I want to encourage you to, during those times that you want to relax, turn on Christian radio or open the Bible and read, and take those opportunities to feed on God's Word, not feed on the word of the world. And as a homeschool father, and there's quite a few of you in here who have been homeschooling, and there's some of you who are just starting, let me encourage you that, I think the goal that I'm going to talk about at least today, the goal is that your children have a biblical worldview. It's not necessary that they can memorize and say every scripture verse, although, I'm amazed through Awana what these kids can do. But do they recognize the false teaching that's going on? I dare say that for most of us who are out in the world on a daily basis, if you're not being shocked or offended by what's said every day, then you might want to question where your worldview really is. Because there's things being said that we can just kind of ignore, and we can just kind of say, well, okay, that's not that bad. But it is an assault on your beliefs, and it is an assault on your training and your education. And so, what I put here, if this works, be diligent. I just pray that you would be diligent. 1 Peter 5:8 says, control yourselves. Be on your guard. Your enemy, the devil, is like a roaring lion. He prowls around looking for someone to chew up and swallow every day. If you're like me, most time your mind doesn't just sit and do nothing. It is trying to pick up something, and what are you feeding it? And so I ask you to focus on that a little bit. So let's go back to that word heart. And let's talk about, what do you believe the state of your heart is? Is it something that should lead you? Is it inherently good? Is it going to lead you to godly things? And I think I would put it this way. Our heart is broken, and I don't mean in the love sense that you have a broken heart. I mean that since the fall of man, you have sin in your life, and your heart is broken. And there is only one thing that can permanently fix your heart. John 16:7-8 says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. It's only through the Holy Spirit and His grace in your life that your heart can be permanently fixed. Now, a lot of Christians in here, praise God. We all know that even though we have given our heart to Jesus Christ, we are still sinful man. Amen? So we will still struggle, and we will still need to continue learning. We will still need to continue to feed ourselves with the Word of God so as not to portray to the little ones, to the ones that are looking up to us, what is wrong. Even if you're just watching a movie and something comes across the screen or they say something that seems wrong, I know my kids hate this, right? Just say something. Just, well, that's not what the Bible says. Just speak up a little bit and remind them of what's going on. Just always be diligent about your faith and about the Word. I think that's it. Yeah. Okay. We're going to celebrate the Lord's table here this morning, and we want to do so as a church body. Now, this is not Grace Bible Church's table. This is the table of God, Jesus Christ's table. So if you're a believer, we invite you to participate with us. If you've not made your profession of faith to Jesus Christ, then we would ask that you watch. And then if you would, there are many of us here. You know, grab someone. If you don't understand what's being done here, ask us. And there are many here who would be glad to talk to you about this. Before we start, before we come to the table, I'd ask that we bow our head, that we have a moment of silence, and that you confess any sins that you have. And if I could ask the men to come up, thank you. Amen. All right, if I could have Steve, you want to come up and help out? Don, would you mind? Thank you. It is said that on the night before he was betrayed, Jesus took bread and having blessed it, broke it, and gave to his disciples and said, "This is my body, which is given for you." Don, would you pray for the bread?
Our God and our Father, we come with gratitude in our hearts this morning. We come thanking you that Jesus Christ came from your presence in heaven, was born to a virgin and lived a perfect life. He had a perfect body, a body different than our body. Our body had sin. His body was without sin. And this bread represents his body, which was given for us, that we might know salvation, that we might know the forgiveness of sin. Lord, we thank you for the bread. We thank you for Jesus Christ. And we thank you for this time of worship. In Jesus' name.
Lying here in this death, I have fallen down. I don't know how much more I can take. When I'm afraid, I just know I need you now. For you are the truth, this need is real. My soul I feel, your spirit's touch. Now I can't say no. My thoughts are confused, for my sins you abuse. My heart now springs to open up and let you in. In my mind, I'm still fighting to understand. Nothing's free, what you offer me. You freely give away, cost you your life, Jesus. You are the light, this need is real. To my soul I feel, your spirit touch. Now I can't say no. My thoughts are confused, oh my sins you abuse. My heart now screams to open. open up to let you in. Let you in. Lord Jesus, please come.
John 6:58 says, "This is the bread which came down out of heaven, not as the fathers ate and died. He that eateth this bread will live forever." Hebrews 9:22 tells us that, "And according to the law, one may almost say all things are cleansed with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness." Steve, would you read?
Lord of heaven and earth, we come to you thanking you for the time now we have to remember and to commemorate the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross, the blood that was spilled, his life blood, the blood of a sinless sacrifice, the Son of God that came to this earth to pay the penalty for our sin on our behalf, clothing us in his righteousness. You remember that it's our sin that held him there, that put him on the cross, the sin of all men. And that by his sacrifice we are cleansed. And so we thank you for this time to remember that, the blood that was spilled. We pray in the name of Jesus.
that same night, our Lord took the cup, and having blessed it, gave it to his disciples and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink in remembrance of me." Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come and spend time around your table, Lord. We know that we are but filthy sinners, and that it is only because of the sacrifice of your blood and your body that we're able to come into communion with you. And Lord, we thank you for that opportunity and for your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Again, we'd like to invite all of you to stay afterwards for our dinner on the grounds. We're going to stand together now, please, and sing one verse of Jesus, "Keep Near the Cross," and then I'll pray for our meal to come.
Jesus, keep me near the cross. There a precious fountain, free to all a healing stream, flows from Calvary's mountain.
For the time we've had together in your word and this time of worshiping you. Lord, as we continue now across the way with our fellowship together around the food, we thank you for that food. We ask that you would strengthen us with it, that our conversation would honor you, and that we would be able to encourage one another at that time. And we just thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.